Archbishop Mendoza was up even earlier than usual. As he opened one half of the shutters and lifted the jalousies of the other in the bedroom of his palace, he noticed in the still moonlight of what was almost dawn that the African tulip tree had bloomed. It confirmed his belief in miracles and in the certainty of what he was now planning. He was not too sure what exactly would turn out, but he had the idea. He liked to think of it as an inspiration, a revelation even. God had sent it. It had come to him just after the consecration at the early morning mass last week. It was now the Saturday before the first Sunday of Advent, and he felt a definite expectation in the early morning air. Something was hatching, as Mrs. Govia, his housekeeper, would say. Your Grace, I have a feeling something really hatching here. Something was coming. After all, this was Advent, yes? The island was on a cusp. Wet season was finishing, dry season about to come. The wide green Carony plain, which grew out of the swamps, the oyster beds and the rice fields, was, he noticed yesterday afternoon, coming back from the country after giving confirmation to devout boys and girls in Valencia, arrowing with sugarcane flowers. Crop time. Soon, an abundant harvest was to be reaped. His mind had played with his idea as he jogged along over the pothole roads in his little Mazda until he hit the newly asphalted two-way highway into the capital. Ronald Parsons, the Prime Minister, had seized upon the road as an election winner earlier that year, rejecting the original twin names of the Western leaders of the Second World War, Churchill and Roosevelt, for the Eric Williams, the Father of the Nation Highway. Archbishop Mendoza put down his breviary after he finished reciting Lourdes and walked out onto the balcony, pulling out the aerial of the mobile phone that Ronnie had given him as a present. He punched out the private number. The dialing sound gurgled for an instant. Ronnie?
Boy, you're up early. You become an ascetic in your Archbishop days.
Where you? Song like rain falling by you in the valley? It dry down here.
In the shower, Louis.
In the shower with the phone? You is something else, yes? Like a child with a toy. I must say it useful. Like prayer, like a direct line to God the Father at any moment.
You're calling me God now and Father?
The Archbishop smiled. Ronnie was still a schoolboy. They had played football together. They had played cricket. Now one was the Prime Minister and the other the Archbishop. Ronald Parsons would bring them the mobile phone. Everyone would have a mobile phone, young and old, man and woman. People could be calling each other from any part of the island in the midst of distress and accident. They could be calling each other from island to island as the whim and fancy caught them driving in a car, walking down the road, on a bus, in a taxi, in a maxi-taxi, on the beach, up a tree, on a donkey cart, by the standpipe, in the lavatory, or in the shower. Like the Prime Minister himself. It was into this playful ambition and ideal that Ronnie seduced his holy friend, the Archbishop, to come that last night in the square to endorse his candidature. Even then, he had wondered what his friend, the Archbishop, would ask for in return. And the Archbishop wondered to what more he might be compromised into giving his imprimatur.
Ronnie, done with your stupidness. Turn off that shower in your fancy gym. You better dry that phone, you might get electrocuted.
I have a proposal which could suit both of us. Kill two birds with one stone. A miracle has occurred.
What you saying?
Miracle. A miraculous apparition has taken place. And this thing, if I don't channel it properly, could get out of hand. We have to work together.
You mean put the lid on it in case scandal come to the church?
No, Ronnie, just the opposite. As the gospel says, don't put your light under a bushel.
Well, somebody must have a bushel, or whatever you call it, well clammed down on it, because I hear nothing. I hear nothing like a miracle take place. The papers don't have nothing. My fellas haven't reported nothing.
That is it, Ronnie. It's a secret. I have the parish priest under wraps about this thing. You know how we could cause parish rivalry and so on.
But what you want me to do with a miracle that nobody know nothing about? That's just it. We going to tell them. And what is the two birds we going to kill with the one stone? Think of it, Ronnie. Louis, stop holding me in suspense. I have to go down to the office and prepare for a cabinet meeting.
Boy, this is the idea that your cabinet will want to discuss.
What is that? A miracle? A miraculous apparition? And anyway, who it is appear? Who making the apparition? What we need is an Arab to appear on the world stage and jack up the oil prices like in the 80s. Who you say? The Blessed Virgin Mary, of course. You think we are not people like other people in the world, like people in Italy, France and Spain, or like our neighbour in Venezuela? You forget the Madonna of Coromoto? Our people need solace and comfort too. You haven't brought that yet, you know. And I hear you tell the people you can't change water into wine. Louis, I'm not going to have any criticism of the government by the Archbishop, by the Church. All you must remember, you're here longer than government. And I ain't see all you change anything in any big way. Anyway, not now, when I'm preparing my first budget.
That's just it. Budget. This has a bearing on your very same budget.
Look, Archbishop, speak to me later. Duty calls. I go see you, boy.
It had not quite hatched, but it was coming. Archbishop Mendoza went down to his first duty, early morning mass served by Mrs. Govaya. It was while he was finishing his papaw and Mrs. Govaya was putting the saltfish bulljol in front of him at the breakfast table that he saw his next plan of action. Mrs. Govaya would be an agent in this business, a messenger from heaven, an enjeu provocateur. Mrs. Govaya, Your Grace? She never called him Louis since the sealed letter from Rome had arrived with the announcement.
Mrs. Govaya, just bring the mobile phone here a moment. Here is your Ronald Parsons toy. Mrs. Govaya put the phone down on the breakfast table.
Well, I want you to use it. Phone the Express newspapers. Punch out the number. Here it is. Now, you will repeat what I say, and no more. No embroidery, eh? I have something to report, Mrs. Govaya said slowly. Yes, report. A miraculous apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary has taken place in the parish of Grancouver. Yes, you hear what I say is what I'm telling you. What? You can't spell apparition? Look that up later. Take it shorthand. Who she appear to? That not come out yet. You have to wait for next report. Mrs. Govaya put the phone down. Your Grace, what is the meaning of this? The news spread like big cane fire crop time. Mrs. Govaya's report had been conjured into a multiplicity of headlines in all the evening papers and news bulletins on the radio stations and on the TV. Mrs. Govaya was instructed to say, no comment. The Archbishop is looking into the matter. But in Grancouver, it was something else. The parish priest could not cope with the calls and the church was filling up. People were awaiting something. Not that anyone knew at that stage who appeared to whom or where the apparition had even taken place. By afternoon, a pilgrimage was making its way up to Grancouver. A cavalcade of cars from all parts of the island, but also people on foot, on bicycle, motorbike, donkey cart. And then, later that evening, the ominous whirring of a helicopter. Someone shout out, "It's Ronald Parsons!" People made a clearing for it on the cricket ground in the middle of Grancouver. But it swooped low and then took off again and circled right out over the gulf and headed back for town. In the morning papers, not only had children seen the Virgin Mary, but she had also appeared to some of the women of the parish, and one had claimed to be healed. Healing was taking place, and others were speaking in tongues. Hallelujah! 2 days later, the budget announcement had been postponed. The Prime Minister called the Archbishop when he got the morning papers. Louis, this thing out of hand. They say she weeping blood. This thing will make us a laughing stock in the world. I have to go and speak to the UN next month.
Ronnie, watch the signs of the times. Your budget get postponed. Well, we have to have a budget. and it will be better when we have some real money to talk about. Hindu and Muslim fundamentalist prayer meeting shut down. Nobody gone. The American preacher, the one who cry on the TV, he not coming again in the stadium. They say the church is emptying all over the island and is one steady stream to Grandcouver, a simple little village in Central. Like Bethlehem. You remember Bethlehem? It's how things used to be long ago with the big Corpus Christi procession. We think coming back, and it truly ecumenical, because I only hearing hallelujah and shanty shanty, shalom and om, and every kind of religious chant and mantra as people going up to Grandcouver. I've decided to lead the recitation of the rosary myself there this afternoon. What about coming? You could come by helicopter, you know. Not me in this confusion. The government is staying out of it, except to send police and members of the armed forces. You know how them Muslimin is. We don't want our next takeover. And we need to catch them ganja smokers up in Central. All you think is incense you're burning up there? Watch the sign of the times, Louis.
By the end of the week, the story was clear. The Black Madonna of Tortuga in the neighboring church was the one which was weeping and sweating blood. And it wasn't children or women or even good Catholics, but a Rasta fella from Erin who decided to break into the church on the run and, startled by what he saw, then ran out and called the people on the road to Grandcouver. Archbishop Mendoza sent the Irish Vicar General from the cathedral to take specimens to send to the Holy Office in Rome to verify the authenticity of blood, sweat and tears. Ronnie Parsons called one morning and got the Archbishop's answer phone. He spoke quickly. Louis, all the hotels sell out, and we have a cruise ship booking for about 6 months to a year in advance. People on the move, Louis. People on pilgrimage, and the treasury is bulging. It's not oil, boy, but it's money. I see now what you mean. You have your church popular again, and we have a chance too. We get away. But the blood thing, Louis, I don't think we need to emphasize the weeping and sweating of blood. Let's keep it clean. By the way, there's a request from the Pentecostals, the Hindus and the Muslims, a petition. They want to know why it is we giving the Catholics cheap flight on the national airline to come down from America and England for Carnival. I tell them it's religious tolerance. I tell them it's pilgrimage. Have a good Christmas, boy. Like the Messiah really come this year. Not an oil-rich Arab, but a Jewish girl. The tape ran out. When Archbishop Mendoza returned from the midnight mass, he played the Prime Minister's message and smiled. In the moonlight, the African tulip tree glowed, a tree of flames. Long after all the bookings were secure, the letter from the Holy Office in Rome came back with the verdict that the blood was goat blood, and the tears were heavily chlorinated water with some unidentified bacteria.